Step four. These are a couple of passages that we'll lean into in this step. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And then Lamentations 3, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Isaiah 1:18, I read this passage. Come, let us talk about these things. This is from the Message, paraphrase. Come, let us talk about these things. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though your sins are deep red, they can be white like wool. If you become willing and obey me, the Lord says, you will eat good crops from the land. But if you refuse to obey me, and if you turn against me, you will be destroyed by your enemies. Step four is a moment where we have to get brutally honest with ourselves. With ourselves. And just face some truth that if we would sit still long enough, they'll come to mind. You'll be reminded that there are some things that we have to fight. All of us do. There are moments in our life where we're wrestling with something, and it can be temptation trying to take you down the wrong path, which it always will. But we have these moments throughout life, and it's not just a one and done. It's something that keeps happening. And we trust the scriptures. We trust these verses because these are the ones that help us understand the importance of step four and just basically getting real with ourselves. John Ortberg, I'm quoting his book every week. His new book is out called Steps. It's a wonderful book. And in the third chapter, when he's on step four, he made this as far as here's why taking step four, taking this inventory is so valuable. And he provides a list here. The fourth step, in other words, getting real with ourselves and others and God, this step makes us coachable. It breeds humility. We grow freer of self-deception. We become less hurtful to those we love. We have a new power to change. We are reassured of being loved by God no matter what. We have a deeper experience of grace. We become capable of closer relationships with others. We learn to trust God more. Shame and guilt can make the prospect of this step seem dreadful. So know that there is freedom and peace on the other side. Just remember that. We can hardly remind ourselves enough of Paul's statement. Therefore, there, in this New Testament, this is Paul's statement. He says this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is with us, and he's here to help us. And he offers us an opportunity to come to him because he loves us. Great words from John Ortberg. I love that guy. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is step four. And you know, the first three are powerful steps, but boy, when you get to step four and on to step five all the way to number 12, you will learn a lot, and it's going to challenge us with each step. So we're being challenged today to get honest with ourselves. And the word searching, fearless, moral, and inventory. Those four words. Searching to look into or over carefully in an effort to find or discover something. That's why we're searching. To look into or over carefully in an effort to find or discover something. Fearless. We want to be free from fear or brave. We want to be brave. Moral. Principles of right and wrong behavior. They exist. And then inventory, a list of traits or preferences, attitudes, or patterns. That's the inventory. Now, just in case you think these steps are for everyone else, let me remind you, they are for all of us. Don't be sitting here thinking, boy, they need to do that one, you know. Don't elbow the person next to you and go, you need to take step four. In fact, we'll do it this afternoon. I want to know all the junk in you. I want to hear it all because I got a hunch what it is. I could probably tell you what it is because I'm judgmental and snooty and think I'm beyond needing help. I don't think we have people like that in this church. I'm sure we don't, because if we did, we would help them find another one. So this is a kind and gracious bunch. How do you think I've made it this long in this church? So when we do step four, I need to remind you here, the inventory you are taking is for you, not someone else. It's for you. Just you and God. And if you want to bring somebody in, a trusted friend or a pastor or someone that, a counselor, but this is for you. The inventory you're taking is for you, not someone else. And then Matthew 7, look at these passages. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, pay no attention to the plank in your own? Why? Going on to verse 2. Do not judge or you too will be judged. This ought to give us all pause here. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. That ought to be a wake-up call too. There's a danger in this whole thing of life and in this whole situation that would draw us then to these steps. We are often experts at diagnosing other people's issues, but not seeing our own. We arrogantly conclude that they're not that smart, so therefore they're whatever you want to fill in the blank. They're very self-aware, or they're not objective, or they only see things through the lens of their wisdom and intellect, or rather than seeing beyond the appearance and understanding where they have come from and what they might have been through to get where they are. Jesus was very straightforward. He knows the truth about all of us. All of us. And one of my many prayers through the years has been, Lord, help me see me. Help me understand others that I might be able to love and value others, whether they align with my thinking about things. Boy, if anybody needs to hear that and practice it, it's the body of Christ. Because it's not looking too good out in the, you know, around the country. They're watching Christians treat each other poorly. It's terrible what Christians do and say about other believers. And we're not going to have it. But here's this danger, and it's a danger we've all got to be aware of, that we get focused on somebody else instead of us. It's one time you get permission to just be all about yourself, think about you, because you want to let Jesus take you through the journey. So there's three keys to taking step four. We'll leave it up here for a while. Clean out the closet, stop the blame, deny, and avoid game. Give God freedom to do the deep cleaning. Let's talk about this for a minute. You've got to clean out the closet. You've all heard the expression that there are skeletons in the closet. Well, we all have something deep in closets that we don't want others to see, that we prefer to keep it locked away, hoping that it will cause us to forget what's in there. These places we've locked where secrets stay, and we've shut the door. We don't want anybody snooping around those closets. And quite honestly, we'd rather not open those closets ourselves. But there's stuff in there, in our closet, our internal closet, our minds, that we've never dealt with or tried to face. And every now and then we go back, we open the door and deal with it. Bring it out of the closet, deal with it. I never can tell this story in step four. I never can go through step four and not tell this story, in other words. It's about a closet. I'm a neat freak, and that's probably why I've drawn to 12 steps anyway. I'm powerless over my desire for everything to be neat and in place. I can walk in any of our rooms, all six of them, and if there's one light bulb out, I'll see it. I wasn't even looking for it, but I'll see it. One night, this was probably 15 or more years ago, the kids were all in bed, and Kim was in bed, and it was 10:30. And she goes to bed early because she gets up early when it's still dark out. And that's the sun and moon were made that we sleep while it's dark until the sun comes up. That's my strategy. But anyway, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I just thought, I got to get that closet clean. I have, you know, my closet. And I just like it clean. Now, anybody would walk in there and go, looks fine. I mean, what do you got to clean here? Because everything has to have a place. I don't even like a gum wrapper sitting on the counter. I've got a little drawers in this wood thing. Then they come out and they go, you know what I'm talking about. So I don't like even that. So it's 11-ish on that night. And it's like God suddenly spoke to me and he said, Walmart is still open. And And I thought, you know what? I can knock this out tonight and not worry about it tomorrow. I'll wake up in the morning and walk into my closet. It'll be just clean and spotless and everything put away. And I need some more of these little bins that you can buy, you know, and they're fabric. And so I wanted 8 of those. I wanted 4 up here and 4 on the next shelf. So make sure everything is hidden, all right? So I went to Walmart. Everybody else is asleep. I went to Walmart. Obviously, I'm not out running around town that time of night. And I found it to be quite exhilarating. There was no traffic. It was awesome. So I thought, well, while I'm out, I'm going to get gas to fill the car up, you know, and get some gas. Oh, there's an ATM I need to... I think this is called ADD. Oh, there's an ATM. I think I'll go there. And so anyway, I finally get to Walmart. It's close to midnight now. And I'm going to go find my little cloth bins for my closet. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. I thought everybody was asleep. And she was when I left the house. But she called me, and it's now about 1:30 a.m. I stayed in Walmart way too long. There was more than those bins for our closets there. It was astounding what all they have. So she calls me, and she says, "Where are you?" And she didn't say it kindly. It was, I gave it my best shot. But so she says, "Where are you?" I said, I'm at Walmart. She said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I'm cleaning up my closet and I need some more of these bins." So I just came over to Walmart. She goes, "You're weird," and hung up. She's never done that before. That's why I always remember this story. She says, "You're weird," click. Or it was on her phone, you know, click. And I thought, oh boy, I hope she's asleep by the time I get home. She wasn't asleep by the time I got home. And she starts telling me, I know other wives whose husband told them things like that in the middle of the night, that they're Walmart. Where were you? I said, I was at Walmart. Let me see the receipt. So I presented it, you know, and she had every right. And now we laugh about it, but she had every right to ask that question. It was so odd. Believe me, it was odd. I just love clean everything, clean closets, you name it. And it's a problem for me, I think. See, I'm in denial already. And cleaning out the closets of our souls and our lives is not as easy as heading to Walmart to get something that'll fix it. It's just not that easy. Step 4 is it's amazing. It's an incredible moment. We have the opportunity to just jump into stuff we need to jump into and deal with instead of continually ignoring it and keeping that part of your life closed behind a locked door. And we really do this and confront and face everything we have stuffed in our closets of our memory and of our lives. Lamentations 3:40, let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. That's powerful, powerful advice from the Old Testament. Let's examine our ways, test them. Let us return to the Lord. Deep in the Old Testament, let us examine our ways is there. So this week I ask you to take this step 4, take an inventory. How do you do that? You set aside a period of time where you can be completely alone and it's quiet. Maybe sit down with a tablet or a pad of paper, wherever you keep your notes. And you might need a box of Kleenex close by if you're really, truly going to get back into what has troubled you for way too long. And you're going to deal with it. It won't be magically over when you get up from the chair you're in, no matter how long you sit there. It doesn't mean it's over and forgotten. It just means you now have admitted it. You've let it go as best you can in that moment. And you got to take a lot of stuff out of the closet. And you take the hanger that has relationships on it. And have you ever said, I'm sorry? Is there anybody you need to say I'm sorry to? And take out the hanger that's going to have control hanging on it. Take out the hanger that has arrogance hanging on it. Take out the hanger that has attitude hanging on it. Take out the hanger that has integrity on it. And so on. You've got to clean the closet. And then the second thing, we've got to stop the blame and deny and avoid game. It's got to stop right there. Someone may have hurt you, yes, and you can acknowledge that, but we're not going to dwell on that. This is about you right now. And you may think you've been able to successfully outrun some kind of an issue in your life, but you've got to be very, very careful about whatever you have settled for, because you're probably settling for so much less than the best that God would have for us. That's really what hits me every time I come through step four. We're settling for less than God's best when we're hanging on to all this stuff. And we can't hide from ourselves. The Bible says there are some painful things in our lives that are not our fault. There are some painful parts of our past that we walk right into. We've caused pain right on our own free will. And it's time to stop. If you've got some deep feelings or anger or mistrust towards some person, you may not change that, but you're at least going to accept maybe the way things are, but it's about you. Can you move forward without having to demand that someone else who might have hurt you is off the hook? This is about you. Sometimes we think, if I just change jobs, I'll feel better, or I'll be better, or I can run faster, or I'll just change cities, it will be better. If I just change relationships, I'll feel better. And the problem you have, to borrow a phrase out of AA, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. The third thing we have to do here is give God freedom to do the inventory. We let him do it. We give God the freedom. Say, God, I'm going in deep. Please, please help me be mindful all the way in that you're with me in this. You give God the freedom. And you're going to sit still and be quiet and listen. And something more than likely will come to mind that it's time for you to deal with or let go of, or both. Now, this is not an invitation to dredge up something you've dealt with in the past. You've been forgiven. God has dealt with it and with you on it. It's not time to go dredge up something that's already been dealt with. It's already resolved. You'll always regret it, but it's resolved, and there's no need to go back and live in that era or that time in your life. But we are going to prayerfully say, search me, O God, and then do the search. You do the search, God. I've got the paper out. You help me fill in the blanks on this piece of paper. You help me write something on these lines. And know my heart. Test me, my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What an incredible prayer. So taking step four is going to require some things from you. First, you're going to need courage. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's in 2 Timothy, verse 7. Spirit gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It's available. Secondly, honesty. You want me to be completely truthful? So teach me wisdom, Lord. Help me see and know the truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, which we all have a tendency to want to do that, to want to hide things. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some honesty to be completely honest, starting with yourself. You've got to be honest with others at some point. I would always suggest finding a good counselor to maybe walk with you through this. And you've got to have trust. You trust in God, he will do what you're asking him to do. That as you ask him to help you, he will help you. You must believe that. You know, I thought there was a time back in the Belle Isle days, and that would have been in the, probably in the 90s. And I was not getting along with a staff member. I can't say more than that. We weren't getting along. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to make this work. And the way I'm going to make it work is I'm going to avoid. I mean, we'll be in meetings. We can be cordial. We weren't hostile toward each other at all. but it just wasn't, there wasn't anything clicking in terms of how we thought about things or what we saw things, how we saw things. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna pull back. So at the time I was on the board, this is hilarious, I think. I was on the board at Oklahoma Christian Counseling Center and called them up to see if I could get some counseling. And you're on the board here, right? And I said, yeah, I am. Am I disqualified because I need a counselor? You know. And I went to see her, fabulous counselor. She was so good for me. And I told her about this problem I was having. And that here was my solution, and it seems to actually be working better. And she said, Marty, that is the exact opposite of what you ought to be doing. You can't ignore it like it doesn't exist. There's got to be some kind of conversations that can help this relationship go better. And the truth is, it went better. We both of us, the staff member and me, we both went back to the counselor. And I'll never forget that. I feel like we both became better pastors. We became better friends. It was so helpful. And that's why I encourage you to do that. If you don't have a counselor, there's a lot of good ones around. And it may be a good idea to have a counselor walk with you as you take this inventory, as you get honest with yourself and with others. Then you can begin to perhaps trust other people. Dallas Willard, God's address is at the end of your rope. I just love this. Only Dallas Willard, one of the more brilliant men that lived on the planet, and he says something so simple. God's address is at the end of your rope. I just want to reaffirm you today. I want you to know you're not alone. One thing I love about, I say it way too much, I don't mean to brag, but I love a lot of things about this church. It's far beyond our wildest imagination or dreams. But one thing I've always appreciated and one thing I've always learned in this journey is that our church is a transparent church. We decided to be transparent back in the 90s when we did the first 12-step sermon series. And we had more people come to church during that sermon series. For one, a lot of them told me out the door, I didn't think you had any business taking these 12 steps into your church. This guy was not happy. But he came back the next week. And he was in our church for years until he went to Jesus. There's a song that was pretty popular several years ago. It still is. You'll hear it. In fact, I heard it on the way to the office this morning. And so I quickly jotted down the words because God gave me that song to leave with you today and to think this through. We're all going to share communion together in a little while. Those of you joining us online, you may have a few minutes if you want to go get some bread and cup or something that would represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And then you can join us when we do share communion. But here's what the song says that I heard this morning. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. I wrote that down for all the men and women incarcerated. We're in all the prisons in the state of Oklahoma. And I wrote that line down. I made sure I got that line for all of you who are at the various prisons. Because, you know, we love you. We can't change all the circumstances, but we do love you. And so I want you to understand, if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. And we all find ourselves in some type of prison, either internally or socially of some kind. It's a list, long list. But if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. That's who he is. That's who God is. And if you'll just trust him in this moment. We share the bread and the cup. It means something. Everybody's welcome to share it. It means something significant. It reminds us that when we were living in a way that was very ugly and distasteful from God, when he saw how things were going, he took it on himself to send his son, Jesus Christ, who took on all the shame and all the guilt and all the mistakes and all the trials. Only Jesus can get us through this thing called life. He's a prison-shaking Savior. He's a chain breaker. And I'm so thankful that somebody told me about Jesus when I was 9 years old. I've never forgotten it. And I'm so thankful that we all have the opportunity, again, in a transparent church, to not be afraid to shape and address our reality. After the service, after we take communion together, we'll have a time of prayer. But I hope this will be a moment you can begin to open up to Jesus and just say, I want to let you in everywhere, even where I've tried to hide you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in this place, in these places of worship where we've gathered today, where others are gathered around televisions and others are gathered around a screen, possibly in many of the prisons. And Father, we just thank you that you saw us worthy of saving, and you still do. So Father, we bring our lives and all that comes with it to you, because we know you love us and you've told us to come to you, all who are heavy burdened. And Father, for those who are, thank you, Father, for being the place they can run. May we in this body of Christ be mindful of the people around us and the people we know and some we don't. But Father, I pray that you'll give us clarity in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.